They say distance is relative, and relative to relatives I have, I'd say I'm relatively close to breaking down. Because right now, I feel so alone. I've been missing the elements and wishing the elephant in the room would leave and kindly close the door. I can't ignore him like before, not anymore. Oh, I miss you most at 6 feet apart when you're right outside my window but can't ride inside my car. And it hurts to know just how lovely you are and be too far away to hold but close enough to break my heart. I miss your smile, feels like miles, 6 feet apart. So far, so far, but so close, like a star out in the cosmos. Can't touch the beauty I see. That's how it feels at 6 feet.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure Radio Show. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, with my better half, Boris.
You always say the better half, but I don't know if I'm the better half.
He's modest.
Oh.
Our show is available live on your radio. Also live through our app, The Cure, on any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com. We are broadcasting live from Miami through satellite, available in radios, more than 11 states, among others, and soon after the show on any podcast player. This show deals with suffering, the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that we're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have experts in several fields and inspirational speakers that are willing to help us with valuable information, knowing that education is necessary. Awareness is crucial, and comfort is needed. I do believe we all suffer, or have suffered from something, and I hope we can be a source of healing to each other. Though my healing came from God, other forms of healing are presented as well, to service everyone, because life can be very challenging. But always know, as long as there's someone who cares, there's always hope.
Please click on the link below to hear the whole show.
The song we played earlier was 6 Feet Apart by Alec Benjamin. They say distance makes the heart grow fonder, but that isn't so much the case when there isn't a choice. We tend to miss the things we appreciate more when they're no longer available. For a lot of us, the loss is significant. Family and friends are among our strongest support. Sometimes our only refuge, and even that cannot be available at its best. At least we are with immediate family, but how about those without their loved ones, those yet not married, those frontline workers who selflessly sacrifice time with loved ones hoping to protect them, those alone because they have lost all resources, including their emotional support, those that are lost and afraid, who see no hope to lean on and have lost their faith, and those who turn to drugs, unable to deal with the pain. It can feel like 6 feet under when our hearts are broken, but I believe the American spirit still remains as long as God can help it. Tim Roberto is a person in long-time recovery. Also a certified addictions counselor with a Florida certified board, a certified recovery coach professional, and a sober companion. He works at the Genesis House Addiction Treatment Center in Lake Worth, Florida. The Genesis House has been in service to others families and the community since 1992 and is a family-owned and operated business. Tim, thank you for being on the show. You are now live.
Oh, hello. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tim. Tim, I believe in these hard times of a pandemic and isolation, the struggle with drug addiction and alcohol could be much harder than what we believe.
Oh, absolutely. This is a perfect storm, so to say, for the addiction or the alcoholism, if it's already in place, to tighten its grip, so to say. Boredom, anxiety, they're all very, they add to the situation, and the situation is already grave.
So how do you balance between the significance of the virus and all the other problems that might rise up, drug addiction, depression? I mean, which one is more important?
Well, they do go hand in hand, and thank God for some of the modern technology. I've been able to adjust myself, like you said in the introduction. I am a person in long-term recovery. My sobriety date's April 15th, 2007. So I thank God, I've learned some tools, and I've done some serious work on why I didn't like the way I felt, and I just applied those tools and solving skills that I've learned over the years, and did it with the same. I practiced the same principles with quarantine. After a couple of weeks, a lot of my regular meetings that I attend were being closed down and taken away. So I moved into I had the problem because I was already starting to feel a little anxious, a little kind of unwiring, sort of say, a little irritable, maybe a little restless. My prayer life is strong in that respect, but I also need to take that physical action as well. So I started doing some Zoom meetings. I created my own Zoom meeting after my first one. So I was a little skeptic because I'm the type of guy that I want to be connected, and I want to have that connection with others. And I think it's all part of being a human being as well. I think we're all, genetically coded to connect and associate. And so I reluctantly did a Zoom meeting, but and then my experience with that was I felt better after I was done.
I know it's not the same, but we've all had to resort to Zoom meetings and the internet and all this. But Tim, tell me, how are people coping these days? Is there an increase in relapse because of the pandemic?
Yes, because I work in the field as well, and I work for, like you said in the introduction, on Genesis House. So we're seeing an increase in the relapse because they're not getting out to what they were getting out to and previously. So for me, the next best thing was to have these Zoom meetings and do the best I could with them. So even though it's through a screen, I'm having some connection. And, there's a lot of amazing people in recovery. There's a lot of amazing people that have suffered with mental illness. And, will they ever be 100%? I don't know. And I don't think I'm qualified to say that. But, is anybody ever 100%? Okay. But all I know is so many people that do things to treat themselves and get engaged, etc., find a way out. There's a lot of people that find a way out, and that's a strong testimony when you find a way out. So,
are you seeing new cases, maybe ones that didn't have mental illnesses, or they weren't at a high risk because of being fired from their jobs or their businesses being closed?
Could you say that one more time?
I know that, in the, you usually deal with people that are relapsing, and there are so many cases, but are you seeing an increase in people that have never done drugs before that are now doing it because they don't know how to deal with the stresses of losing their job or their business being closed, or even having experienced something tragic or huge for the first time in their life?
I haven't been privy to that yet, because this is only, we're only a couple of months into or a few months into the virus. So I haven't run across anybody that's, you know, picked up because of the change in their status or their employment. I do see some increase in the irritability. My phone is definitely ringing more. But as far as that, you know, to be able to pinpoint that I don't. It's not like when you were asking me that question, I was thinking about how so many people that I run into had a surgery or an accident of some sort, or some type of sports injury, and they take these pain medications, and the next thing they know, their whole life has been turned upside down.
Well, I guess so this is less now. The hospitals closed the standard whatever planned surgeries, but anyway, the drug abuse in Americas, the USA, is very prominent. I was reading some statistics, around 20 million American adults,
yes,
battle a substance use disorder.
But I want to know if it's accessibility or it's something that they have to turn to. But we will continue talking with Tim Roberto about working, helping with drug addiction. We would love to hear from you. Call us with any comments or questions about drug addiction. 1-866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
But you walk by like you never heard. You could bring down my level of concern. Just need you to tell me we're alright, tell me we're okay. Panic on the brain, Michael's gone insane. Julie starts to make me nervous. I don't really care what they would say. I'm asking you to stay. My bunker underneath the surface.
Now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. This is Amy Cabo.
Remember that you can listen to the radio show live through our app, The Cure, with Amy Cabo.
The song that just played was Level of Concern by 21 Pilots. And guys, I'm still picking my songs. You can give me recommendations, you know, and you might win. There are a lot of things we can be concerned about these days, and some of us may be considered overly optimistic or giving false hope. I find there is hope in God's promises, who said, "Everything shall pass. I will be with you to protect you, strengthen you, and help you get through it." If not, God sends us those who can do His work and bring down the levels of concern. We need to hear everything will be all right, as it is in life and has always been. Everything has a way of working out according to God's will, which is ultimately for the best. And in return, we give our best to others when we bring down their levels of concern.
And just to expand a little bit more on the contest for picking up the song, I wanted to remind you that you can have your suggestions sent to us through contact us page on GodIsTheCure.com, and if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate. And thank you for everybody who has submitted their songs. Amy is evaluating them. And now some of the time it's hard to pick it because it's based on the show, based on the guests and other reasons which she doesn't want to reveal. But it is possible to get selected.
I have to relate. Okay, but we're talking to Tim Roberto, a certified addictions counselor and a recovery coach professional. Tim, we started talking about addiction and what is exactly substance abuse. Now, I want people to understand where addiction comes from. And who is at high risk for addiction? Because obviously, not everyone is addicted and not everyone turns to drugs. Some of us turn to each other, and some of us don't know to seek help at all. And so what is a higher risk among those that are addicted, those that are not willing to seek help, or those that just have, you know, are very hurt inside, are dealing with a lot of pain?
Well, it's a very, you know, it's a fascinating conversation. It's a fascinating question. You know, is drug addiction, alcoholism, is it a disease or is it a choice? And that question right there alone creates a lot of controversy. So all I know is there was a fellow who was involved in the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous by the name of Dr. Silkworth. And I would, you know, if anybody is interested in learning more about this, because there's a lot of people that really don't know much about it because most people don't experience it. But like the doctor said in the first segue there, that there's 20 million Americans. That's a lot of alcoholism and a lot of drug addiction. So this Dr. Silkworth, back in the 30s, and when Alcoholics Anonymous was formulating, he couldn't prove that it was a disease, so they called it in his literature called the doctor's opinion. And in the first book that they wrote, the founders, and with Dr. Silkworth's input, the first book that they wrote of Alcoholics Anonymous, there was a letter in there, and they published his letter. It just said the doctor's opinion with no signature. Well, in the second edition, Dr. Silkworth's signature was on that because shortly prior to the second edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the AMA, which is the American Medical Association, in 53 or 56, classified it as a disease. And so when they came out with their second edition, Dr. Silkworth said, now you can put my name on it. So it's called the doctor's opinion, and because he couldn't prove it. So I believe, you know, and what I've read over the years and what I continue to see is there's a genetic coding to it. You know, and the majority of the people I deal with, there's either a father or a mother, or it's known to skip a generation, and it can be, say, in the grandparents. So, you know, there's a lot of consistency with that, but I'm always fascinated with, you know, I believe it is a disease. I believe it is genetically coded, but there's conditions that activate this illness.
It's triggered. Does there always have to be a genetic predisposition to be addicted, or could environmental factors play a fact as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think there's a gene that never gets activated because of conditions that don't activate it. But, you know, there's a lot of conditions, whether you have it or not, that might activate a gene that nobody knows about, because it's, you know, when a child goes through trauma, does trauma become part of their genetic coding? Does it become part of their DNA? Does it get hardwired in a section of their brain? Well, there's a lot of evidence that shows that. So if I'm experiencing certain situations that are very difficult for me in my, you know, especially in childhood when everything's developing, does this set me up to seek this release? So I'm seeking, and then my first actual, you know, or that moment of relaxation comes through a drink. Is that what causes it?
But let me give you an example. Two different people that went through trauma. Okay, let's say they both went through trauma. One has a genetic disposition that can be triggered, and one doesn't. Do they both have equal chances to become addicted later on in life?
Wow, that's a deep question. You know, I'm not really sure about that, Amy. I'm not sure, because even with trauma, you can have a drink and it really doesn't activate that gene. It doesn't ignite that phenomenon of craving.
Or you might not even have a trauma at all, and you still have predisposition.
Yeah, but even if there's trauma, it might come out in another way. Right. You know, some people might become actively sexually active. Some people might become very withdrawn. Some people might become OCD. Some people might be control. You know, they have to control everything. I think there's all kinds of...
Well, under the same token, I would think somebody with a genetic disposition for addiction could possibly go through trauma and not become a drug addict or have extreme behaviors.
Yeah.
That's possible as well.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of variables to it. But when
to do with their way of thinking or how they grew up or what they believe or their support system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at it as an allergy. I really do. You know, people have, you know, allergic to shellfish, so
and we have to go to break, it's definitely something that we need to take care of, just like any physical illness. We will return to The Cure live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We would love to hear from you. Call us, 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
If I didn't know what it looked like to be dirty, then I wouldn't know what it feels like to be clean. And if all of my shame had drove me to hide in the shadows, then I wouldn't know the beauty of being free. As in heaven.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, we're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, on our app, The Cure, for any smartphone, and our website, godisthecure.com.
How about dumb phones? All shows are available also as a video podcast. Just look for The Cure with Amy Cabell.
The song that just played was Maybe It's Okay by The Messengers. If we didn't experience loss, we wouldn't feel the gain. If we didn't experience sadness, we wouldn't embrace joy. If we didn't struggle, we wouldn't appreciate hard work and prioritize helping others. If things didn't look impossible, we would not be a witness of miracles. So if we're not okay, it's okay, for the greatest king suffered for us. And I learned that for some of us, suffering is an honor if we see the good in it, and for some of us, we don't see it as suffering if we realize that the one that holds the world is holding on to us And we know that His will be done, not just here and in heaven, but in our hearts.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started, and we've been doing it for a couple of shows now. Let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our Contact Us page on GodIsTheCure.com, and if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate.
We are talking to Tim Roberto, a certified guidance counselor. Tim, how important is self-care?
Well, it's the top priority. It's very important. You know, if I don't take care of myself, it's a very you know, classic statement, right? If you're not taking care of yourself, how can you take care of anybody else? And it's all about being of service. I mean, I loved the song during the break, and you know, if we're taking care of ourselves, we can be of service to others. I think, especially for what I do and what you're doing. It's very important.
And I want to tell you from personal experience, because I was an addict, it's a very dark world. You don't take care of yourself. You fall into depression. Your surroundings become dirty, and you don't like the light. You don't want sunlight. You want to be in constant darkness. And the only thing that'll make you feel better is what makes it worse, and it's this chain reaction. And Tim,
it's the lie. It's the great lie, Amy.
Well, it's the devil's ply.
Correct.
Tim, but is it treatable? Tell me there's hope.
It's 100% treatable. You know, before the break, we were talking about the allergic reaction, and you know, some people, you know, a lot of people, you know, they look at all these other illnesses and all these other difficulties from an intellectual standpoint. So, you know, there's people that can die from bee stings, so they carry EpiPens. There's people that are allergic to shellfish, so they intellectually protect themselves, right? Because if they eat shellfish, their throats close up, so they have that allergic reaction. There's all kinds of allergic reactions. Strawberries, some people get red rashes. Well, you know, I have an allergic reaction, you know, based on how my body responds to it. I don't break out in hives or red marks or anything. I break out with the desire for more, a phenomenon of craving.
Wow. So how is it treatable then? Medications, therapy?
Well, it's a whole lot of God and a whole lot of changing my thinking, because the physical part of it, I'll never be able to change that. I'm not cured, but I am a recovered alcoholic who's totally powerless over drugs. So my gift, my God's grace to me, is I have this incredible ability, and that's the ability to change my thinking. Because it's my thinking that puts it in, nothing else. That's the great gift of drug addiction. It's 100% treatable.
You beat me to my next question. I wanted to know what role does spirituality play in recovery?
Well, it's the role, because when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Because in drug addiction, drug addicts will do more in 5 years to get more drugs than some people will do in a lifetime.
Wow.
So, you know, drug addicts and alcoholics try everything year after year after year, and nothing works. It's never enough. Nothing brings peace and comfort. Nothing.
Until they find God.
Correct.
I think that's the only thing that works, because it's the only thing that worked with me.
Well, and the same with me. And my literature states that God could and would if He were sought.
Of course. But how can we help, let's say, opioid addicts? You touched upon that it's not even their doing. It's not even their fault. They had an accident, and now they're addicted to a pill.
Correct.
But since I've never been an opioid addict, I know nothing about that. And yeah. do you know what's the best way to help that patient? Because if they stop the opioids, then they feel the physical pain. Yeah. Do they need to just detoxify or transition to a medical treatment? And what could be done in place of using opioids?
Well, opioids, you know, I've come to the conclusion, Amy, that pain is manageable. Drug addiction is completely unmanageable. So if I can, you know, if somebody's on opioids, which is an insanely physical addiction, it's just incredible, the physical aspect of it. So if I can get somebody into detox and begin to remove, you know, we say opioids, I say poison, I say the enemy. But if we begin to remove that, once I straighten out somebody's physical disability, then I can start working on them mentally, right? So that's the goal of detox, straighten them out physically so we can begin to treat them mentally.
Well, doesn't it start with the mental aspect?
Because 100%. It's a mental obsession with a physical allergy, right? Just like any other type of allergy. But you see, there's the stigma attached to addiction. Nobody looks at it. It's not a moral issue, Amy. It's not a moral issue. I don't like how I feel. And my uncomfortabilities took me down to a path where my uncomfortability, my life, my destiny, so to say, my due process in life, took me to a point where I used drugs. Other people's roads are different. The paths that they travel are different, but they're acting out in all kinds of ways, you know. So I happened to my direction was alcohol. And then the way my body responded to it, it got to a point where I just believed the lie. So, yes. But once I put in, I couldn't stop. So the
difference with me now is that before, when I felt I was too bad of a person for God to love me, and I didn't have God, I felt like the pain was unbearable. And now if I feel physical pain, like I have arthritis, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It comes and goes. And if I feel bad or I feel irritable, it doesn't matter. It comes and goes. And I can pray about it and I can fight it. I'm strong enough now.
Wow. Good for you guys, because it matters to me, though I've never been addicted, thank God. But I mean, I'm really mad when I'm mad.
One of us has to be normal.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's part of the lie. You know, it tells us we're bad people, but we're not bad people. God, we're not bad people. We're children of God. But you know, do I agree that drug addicts make bad decisions? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I agree alcohol makes alcoholics make bad decisions? Yes. But all the people I've worked with so many people over the years, I've never had anybody, and I've given people opportunities to prove to me you're bad. And it's not. That's part of the lie. God loves unconditionally, and I'll keep it very simple. And this is why I teach people who are willing to be taught that God loves us unconditionally because we have this gift of choice. And with choice, I can be the best version of myself.
But you know what? There's something about people who suffer. Because I went to an NA meeting once, and it was among the best people I ever met.
Did you notice the once part?
Okay, twice. It was twice. Let's be honest. It was twice. We would love to hear from you. Tell us about a personal story of recovery from addiction. Call us at 866-34-TRUTH.
Right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
Yeah, everybody hurts sometimes, I know that's what they say. But right now it seems this loneliness won't go away. Yeah. Can anybody feel this heartache? Is anyone around? Feels like we're running round in circles, we can't catch a breath. We can't enjoy the moment when we always want what's next, yeah. Just when I can't take no more, it's when I hear you say, don't hang your head when you get lonely. No, I'll never leave your side. And don't go thinking you're the only one that can get it.
nowhere I can run, there's nowhere I can hide from the one who gave his life so I could get back mine. Yeah. So when you can't take no more, look up and hear him say, don't hang your head when you get lonely.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Hi, welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. on your radio, on our app, The Cure. Social media, just look for God is The Cure.
Later, the show will be available as a podcast. Search for The Cure with Amy Cabo. Amy spelled with an I and a double E on any podcast channel.
That song, that awesome song that just played was Love by The Messengers. Don't hang your head down when you get lonely. God is always be your side, and he won't let you go. All we need is love, for we know we are not the only ones that can get it right, because the Holy Spirit gives us love down in our souls. As his grace is new every morning, his love sustains our life, and only in God can we be satisfied. For love truly is the answer to everything, but God, the ultimate cure.
I also want to remind you about the contest we started. Please let us know suggestions for a song that we can play on the show through our Contact Us page on GodIsTheCure.com, and if we play it, you will receive a $25 gift certificate.
We will continue talking to Tim Roberto, discussing drug addiction during a pandemic. And I see that we have a call.
Oh, yes, we do. Jimmy from Charlotte, now you're live. What is your question, Jimmy?
Okay, first of all, praise God, and thank you for having me on the show. I am a cancer patient, and I'm currently on a huge amount of opioids, oxycodone.
Oxycodone?
Oxycodone is, it's like a immediate release.
Okay.
It's like a immediate release. My question is, should I go to detox? Starting out about a year ago, I could not handle the pain, and I've had a battle off and on for the last with opioid addiction because of an accident I had back in 2012, and I was actually off the opioids for almost a year, totally free and clean, no problems at all, and then I started having severe pain in my lower back. And I got diagnosed with cancer about a year ago, February. And I had to start back on the opioids. I started out, you know, like a smaller amount. Now I'm up to massive. Any suggestions?
Well, I don't want to say that opioid medications are not to be taken. Doctors prescribe medication based on the condition and each individual patient. Now, opioid addiction is a disease that is well recognizable now, but there is still patients that need them. Tim, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on if is he still being treated? Is he still going through the process of fighting his cancer, or has all that been completed? I think if we're going through the treatment, I think we need to stay on it. I'm not a medical doctor, but if the treatment is over, then I would hope that the doctor and you have made a decision to begin the process of removing the opioid.
Well, unfortunately, well, actually, I'm actually very blessed to have this cancer. I'll go through chemo every 3 weeks the rest of my life. I have metastatic lung cancer with tumors on my liver. My L4 is fractured with large tumor on it. Tumors in my upper spine and my shoulder blade. And, you know, I just feel like I'm taking way too many, but now I'm at the point where I'm actually physically dependent on them. I really do not know if I go to detox, which I've been through three times,
Jimmy, in my opinion, you need to go to a pain medicine doctor and follow their recommendations.
Well, let me ask you, that you're a doctor, is there pain medications that are not addictive that could be prescribed instead?
Yes, they are, but unfortunately they're not so strong. Oh. So that's why it exists the opioid medications right now, that there are conditions and situations which needs to be prescribed. But again, this is best treated by a pain medicine physician, not by your primary care physician or by your oncologist.
Well, my oncologist is a pain management specialist.
There you are. Okay.
That helps.
Right. Just, but unfortunately, he'll give me any amount I want as long as I tell him I'm hurting, but I'm at the point where after so many hours, you know, I try to force myself not to take them. My body, just the withdrawals are just worse than the pain, to be honest with you.
There is a possibility to discuss with your physician switching to Suboxone, which is a medication that is not addictive and is stopping the cravings that you have for the opioid medication. And there is some literature that says that maybe it has also some effect on pain. I don't know, Tim, do you have experience with switching pain medications to opioid pain medication to Suboxone or similar?
Yeah, I mean, Suboxone makes things, I think, you know, bearable, and, you know, it is a synthetic opiate, so it's kind of like you're switching seats on the Titanic. I'm having an issue with his audio. So is it in remission now?
Yes.
Okay, so it's in remission. He's also stating that I don't want to do what I'm doing.
Correct.
So that starts telling me there's a problem there. I if it's in remission, why stay on them? Pain right. is manageable, but being dependent is very unmanageable, and then right. it starts robbing the soul. It starts making things dark, and the
other problem is that it's never enough. It starts being the dose not enough, so you crave
correct.
More.
Correct.
I understand that the psyche is very important for physical health. A lot of us, we focus on physical health, but mental health, it starts with that.
Correct.
And if we can help his mental health to where he can be strong enough. I mean, cause sometimes we feel more fear anticipating the fear. Sometimes we feel more pain thinking it's going to be more painful. So there's different ways we can help this man besides praying for him, which I will, but Suboxone, but also, I mean, the mind is extremely powerful, and if we only knew how to use it, and we can do that for each other, because it starts with not wanting to do it anymore, realizing he has a problem, wanting to get better, which, by the way, it's very difficult in his case.
Yep.
But God bless him. At least he's trying.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jimmy, for calling. God bless you.
Thank you for having me. God bless you. Thank you.
So, back to Tim.
Yes.
So, Tim, do you have any idea about what do you think of routine screening? Should we do like a yearly drug test on your primary care physician, like a pap smear with the gynecologists in women? Is that something that you would recommend
for the addict?
Well, for people that are not an addict, like you go to your doctor for your yearly visit, should the doctor test him for drugs?
Intervention type. I wouldn't be against that at all, because it could save somebody's life, because then, you know, drugs kill drug addicts and alcohol right. kills alcoholics.
Yeah.
We don't have much time, so let me get this question in, because some of us are dealing with drug addicts. How, as a family member or a support system, what's the best way for us to deal with an addict? I don't know if my husband did it right, but it worked for me. He didn't corner me. He didn't pressure me. I had to come to it on my own. But what do you suggest?
Well, I think everybody, you know, I can't deny people of their due process in life. I don't have that kind of power. And two, I can't, you know, that's total disrespect. So I'm trying to do God's work. So what I can do is how I respond to it. So I always suggest to a family member that's dealing with an alcoholic or an addict, find your support, find your strength, because it's a very difficult thing, right? It's not a spectator sport, you know. Alcoholism and drugs, it's not, everybody gets to play. So Al-Anon, Naranon, CODA, which is Codependent Anonymous, therapist. There's tools, and there's a lot of resources out there for people, because it's not like an instruction book comes with it, you know.
Right.
I think the most important thing to do is just let people have their own free will, guide them, be there for them, make sure they're safe, teach them, and help them, not aid them in their drug addiction, but allow them to have their own will, because it's up to the person. They have to decide they want to change, not somebody wanting them to change.
Only a few minutes left. Thank you, Tim.
Unfortunately, the show is over again. We never have enough time, but thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It was very interesting.
And thank you to our audio producer, Jasper, for being with us today, making the show sound good and making the music possible. And thanks to the Christian car guy, Robbie Dillmore, for his continuing guidance. He's awesome. Check his show.
He even suggests a question, but sorry, Robbie. Didn't go through.
Now let's pray. I wanted to start with a typical NA meeting prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Father, God of life, you made me in your perfect image to live in your love and to give glory, honor, and praise. Open my heart to your healing power. Come, Lord Jesus, calm my soul just as you whispered peace to the stormy sea. St. Jude, most holy apostle, in my need I reach out to you. I beg you to intercede for me that I may find the strength to overcome my illness. Bless all those who struggle with addiction. Touch them, heal them, and reassure them of the Father's constant love.
Here with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.